This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Remember, the Buckets and Bets promo will give you a keyword later this hour. You have a chance to head to the Hard Rock, Seminole, Hollywood, watch all the basketball games, place some bets, have a good time. So listen for the keyword later this hour. Joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline is Kyle Finnegan, who, of course, was an all-star a year ago, and he signed a new contract.
Got him back in the fold.
Clap that up. Stay here in D.C. for a while. What's up, Kyle?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Hey, man. Yeah, thanks for being
congrats,
on.
Congrats on your one-year, $6 million deal to get you back in with the Washington Nationals. Has to feel good to sign that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, free agency, my first trip through free agency, so to end up back with the Nats on a deal that I feel great about has been fun. It's exciting to see all the boys again, and we're here in beautiful Florida getting ready to go.
So you don't have to tell us the teams that you were talking to, your agent was talking to, but just kind of give us the idea of what that was like, because you don't know if you're coming back to Washington, you're a free agent, your agent's obviously trying to get you the best deal in a good situation. What's it like as a player? I mean, you kind of just waiting for calls from him, texting him back and forth every day, going, what's the deal? What was that like mentally?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You stay in touch almost on a daily basis. And, you know, initially when I became a free agent, there were a bunch of teams that reached out just to kind of touch base and say, you know, we'll be in on you, you know, later on into the off season. So early on, it's very slow. And then around the winter meetings, you know, teams start to talk and things start to pick up, and it's kind of like waves of signings. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of monitor, you know, you stay in touch with the teams and you relay what you're looking for. They kind of, you try to extract maybe where that team sees you. And, as names start to come off the board, you know, it starts to narrow and you find a team that you feel like is zeroed in on you. And that's kind of how it progresses. Mm-hmm. You know, my process took a little longer than most, but, you know, had lots of teams that were involved and, you know, just really taking my time to get the best deal possible.
Awesome.
Talking to Kyle Finnegan, who of course was an all-star a year ago, I kind of want to go back and go through your journey into Major League Baseball, because I think a lot of closers, most closers probably start off as starters. And I think you started your minor league career as a starter. When did you make the transition to relief pitcher, and did that suck for you? I'm kind of wondering, because if you're a starter, maybe you want to continue being a starter. What's it been like over the years transitioning to closer?
Yeah, my first two full seasons in minor league ball, I was a starter and had some early success. I actually started the All-Star game my first full season as a starter. And then the following year,
who were you pitching for then?
I was in the Oakland Athletics organization, the Beloit Snappers in the Midwest.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. Baby. And then my second year was not so great. I was in high A in the California League, and I threw a lot of innings. You know, I took the ball every 5 days and, you know, threw my four or five. Just happened to be giving up a few too many runs for their liking. So they thought that, you know, my stuff would play better in the bullpen. So I made the transition the following year, and I think it was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And then really just, you know, kind of took off from there. Had a lot of success right away and was able to jump up a few levels fairly quickly once I transitioned to the bullpen.
How's your approach different as a reliever versus a starter? I mean, obviously you do different things kind of like for your body, et cetera. But what about just like setting up, you know, batters and that sort of thing? How does that change?
Yeah, absolutely. As a starter, you know, you're really aware of that you got to face these guys 2-3 times in a game. So, you know, you got to be aware of what pitches you're showing them, or, you know, not getting into patterns or repetitive. And as a reliever, it's kind of like, what are your best two pitches and how can you expose the hitter's weakness, you know, as quickly as possible? You know, you're only going to face them once, most likely. So, reliever is more so relying on your best stuff and just attacking the hitter with that. A starter is much more, you know, that mind game of keeping them off balance and, you know, remembering how you attacked them the last at bat. And so starter, much more of a mind game. Reliever is kind of like, you know, best on best.
So Kyle, I don't know if you've seen this viral clip of Eddie, I think it's Eddie Perez. Was he Greg Maddux's catcher? And they talk about how, I don't know if he did it for his entire career, but through many years, that Maddux was actually calling the game, right? And he called the game the way he caught the ball. So if his hand was, glove was open, then it meant something. If his glove was closed when the catcher was throwing it, it meant something. If he touched his mouth, that meant like breaking ball. And no one ever caught on to it, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw, if seen that clip or not. As a professional, like, what jumps out at you when you hear a story like that?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about one of the best to ever do it. The guy was just an absolute doctor out there. And
could you imagine doing that?
Yeah,
no, it's crazy. Like how comfortable he was and how sure of himself he was on the mound to, you know, to get away with something like that is just insane. Like, that guy just knew how good he was, and he was out there just like having fun, competing, playing a game.
Right.
So, you know, you go back and watch those clips, and it's just insane, like what he was able to do.
Who was your guy growing up? Who was your favorite player? Did you grow up near Detroit? Were you a Michigan guy?
I was born in Detroit, but I actually grew up in Houston.
Oh, okay.
But my entire family, both my parents, all my extended family are from New York. Mm. So I grew up Yankees. We watched all the Yankees games. So it was Clemens, Pettit, you know, all those guys. So I really enjoyed watching Andy Pettit.
Yeah.
So Kyle, for a guy that spent a lot of his years in Texas, you pitched at Texas State. I don't detect any sort of Texan accent. Like, did you just have it and lose it since you've been here in Washington? Like, I don't hear any of that in your voice.
No, I'm very much a mutt, I think. you know, I got the Northeastern family and then, you know, grew up in Texas my whole life. So I think, I don't know what type of accent I have, but it's definitely not Texan.
That must be very cool, by the way, to get the All-Star nod for the first time in your career in Texas. Yeah. How cool was that last season?
Oh, it was awesome. Especially, you know, I was a super late addition to the team. So we were already in the middle of the All-Star break. And I got added on, you know, the day before the game. So, you know, that was one of two, you know, either Houston or Dallas were the only two places like my family could, you know, quickly get there. So it was a huge blessing that it was close to home and I was still able to have, you know, 15, 20 family members make it out.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, as we're talking to Kyle Finnegan, closer for the Washington Nationals, about the outfield defense. So Dylan Cruz made a great play yesterday. He had played center field. He's not going to be playing center field because you got a great center fielder there. Talk about what it's like getting on the mound, knowing you have such great, at least, you know, outfield defense behind you.
Yeah, it frees you up to just attack the zone and you know, not nibble and feel like you got to strike everybody out. You know, when you have a great defense, you're just getting ahead of the hitter and staying on him. And if he hits it, you can trust that you've got guys that can catch it and throw it behind you. So, you know, watching what those young guys can do behind you has been fun. And they give us tons of confidence when we're on the mound to not worry about, you know, that we're not alone out there and that they got our backs.
Kyle, what do you make of your teammate Dylan Cruz's quote from yesterday? He said, "We're not waiting for the future anymore. The future is now," talking about the 2025 Nats.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's kind of been the vibe of camp is you know, we were building, and you know, we're not coming, we're here now. So it's time to go. You know, our focus is on winning, and nothing else. So we're definitely hungry and excited and can't wait to get up to DC and get this thing going.
So to talk about the starting rotation, the projected starting rotation, and your thoughts about it. With McKenzie, obviously, is your number one. When he's on, he's just a stud. Jake Irvin, Mitchell Parker pitched really well last year. Trevor was hurt, but now he's back. Went out and got Soraka. So just kind of talk about the guys. I know they went out and signed a Japanese player. I'm not sure if he's a projected starter or bullpen, but just kind of talk about the rotation, especially at the top with Mac.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about McKenzie. I think you're talking about one of the next good ones in the game. He's got everything that you would want in a starter. And, you know, I think he's going to lead this rotation. And, you know, you had a guy like Soroka who, you know, almost won a Cy Young, was part of a great Braves team for so many years. So, you know, he's a guy that could be huge for us. And then of course, Trevor had an unbelievable year last year when he was feeling good, and to have him back and feeling healthy will be huge. And then obviously Irvin took a huge step forward last year, you know, taking the ball every fifth day and going out there and doing his thing. And then I think the difference this year than years past is we have lots of options, you know, behind those big four that are going to help us throughout the entire year. You know, DJ Hers and Mitch and Shinosuke. So
yeah,
I think we're in a really good spot.
Kyle, I'm curious. We've been to spring training. We didn't go this year. What are you doing with all your free time down there? Are you a big golfer? I know you got three kids. I don't know how that works for you during spring training. But closers, what are you doing during spring training?
Yeah, you know, the life of a reliever in spring training is pretty nice, I gotta say. Played a little golf a couple days ago, actually. So try to take advantage of that.
Can we bet on what you shot?
Let's just bet on his handicap. Oof.
Handicap.
Bet on his handicap. No, let's bet on what he shot.
It might be his first outing.
I mean, Kyle, I don't think that's fair. He definitely just let out an oof.
He did.
That means it wasn't good.
There was an oof there. I heard it.
Well, I give you
my handicap, right, and I tell you where I played, okay, and then you try to guess what I shot.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right, what's your handicap?
I'm a 13 handicap. So, all right. You know, not great.
Solid.
And we played Panther National, which is, you know,
look it up.
It's a PGA. It's a PGA type course.
You know the slope? What's the slope?
Ooh, I do not know the slope.
All right, I'm going to say 93.
All right, hold on. You're already in?
Yeah.
He's in with his guess.
13.
I'm going to go over. I'll say 97.
I think you're in that range. It's in the 90s. I'm going to say 94.
Yeah,
94, I think.
94.
Right. It's a 147 slope, Valdez.
Ooh, that's difficult.
I don't know.
I would say like 101.
101?
Oh, all right. What'd you shoot?
You got me sandwiched there. I think, you know, 96.
Okay. It'll get better.
I mean, first outing.
Not bad.
When are you playing? When are you playing?
Windy.
Yeah, yeah.
Windy.
When are you playing next?
We got nothing scheduled.
Okay.
But you know, it's kind of like a day of type thing. It's like, what, you know, you see a couple guys in the clubhouse, you got anything going on today? Nope. All right, let's go play.
Doesn't McKenzie play a lot? I think he's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, McKenzie plays, he's good. So when I played 2 days ago, it was me, McKenzie, Nate Lowe and Riley.
Oh, cool.
All right, I wanna real quick, we gotta do WITB.
Yeah, what's in the bag?
All right. Are you a gearhead? Do you have new sticks? Like, what kind of driver are you playing? Come on, let's go through it.
So I got PXG has like a headquarters in Virginia.
Yeah.
So we got to go out there and like get the full deal fitting and everything. So I got a full set of PXGs right now that I'm hitting, and then a Scotty putter.
Scotty putter. Oh, okay.
A mallet or blade? Yeah.
Such golf nerds.
Is that Newport Select or Newport 2.5?
Yeah, it's It's the 2.5.
The cigarettes
one.
Or golf clubs?
That's what I have.
What's happening?
Valdez trying to flex.
All right, very nice.
Who was so Mac was the best golfer. Who's the worst golfer on the squad?
Oh, he's not.
Or do they just not get out there?
He's not going to do his guys dirty like that. Or maybe he will.
You know,
I don't know.
Of the guys that like play consistently, it's probably me.
The
worst, honestly.
How often are you playing?
Well, it's because you got young kids at home, so in the off season you're always with the kids.
Are you playing in the off season?
I mean, early on in the off season, I play, you know, maybe 2-3 times a week, just, you know, 9 holes before I pick the kids up. But as the baseball stuff picks up, you know, you just gotta, you know, I'm at the mercy of my wife during the off season, so I like to hang out with her and do all the things she likes to do. So I play golf early and then not so much later in the off season.
Happy wife, happy life, right?
All right.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Opening day is right around the corner, bro. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right. Congrats, dude. And look forward to seeing you this year.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
Kyle Finnegan, who a couple seasons ago had an immaculate inning. Do you know what that is, Cakes?
Immaculate inning.
Come on, baseball,
I
Cakes.
I do know what that is.
Baseball Cakes.
Three pitches and three outs? Or
it'd be 9 pitches. Yeah. But
9 pitches.
Yes. Strikeout. Oh, no ball.
Okay. No, yeah, 3 pitches.
Well, what about just batter? 3 pitches?
Yeah, 3 pitches, 3 foul tips, you're out. That should be your immaculate inning.
How's that an inning? That's an
out.
Considered.
Well, no, catcher catches it.
Oh, okay.
Three out. Straight batter.
That's actually better.
It's way better.
One up you.
Baseball Cakes is all over.
Well, find out the term for that.
Oh, there is no term. I just made it up.
Do you think it's ever happened in the history of life?
Yes.
Yes. 100%.
3 pitches, 3 outs?
Yes.
No, not 3 pitches, 3 outs. 3 foul tip outs.
Probably.
The catcher.
Baseball's been around for a million years.
It didn't have to be that specific. I just meant like a pop fly.
Well, it'd have to be a foul ball, not a foul tip, because you have to catch that on the third strike.
Yeah, pop up.
According to the story, there have been several.
Well, why does it have to be a foul tip?
3 pitch innings.
It doesn't. He's right. Yeah. It doesn't. He's right.
3 pitch innings. That's your immaculate.
That's happened several times, according to
AI. No, that's happened a lot.
AI.
Everything has happened.
3 ground balls. Of course, that could happen easy.
Everything has happened.
All right, remember, we'll give you the keyword for buckets and bets coming up shortly. We're the Junkies. Don't go anywhere.